This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you know who produces Free Thought Radio, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're a national organization based in Madison, Wisconsin, of atheists and agnostics and a few other types of non-believers or nuns or none of the above, which is right now the fastest growing segment of the American religious landscape, if you want to call it a religious landscape. We work to educate the public about the views of non-believers, and we work to keep state and church separate.
Today, we're going to talk generally about the views of atheists and agnostics and have a little commentary on the Pope and condoms, and we'll be interviewing a guest who's in Australia. It's our first interview with someone in Australia, so that should be fun.
South of the equator. His name is David Nichols, and David is president of the Atheist Foundation of Australia, Inc. And we're going to talk with David not only about non-religion in Australia, but about the fact that the group was barred from advertising on buses there. One of their proposed bus signs said, "Sleep in on Sundays."
And so we at the Freedom From Religion Foundation thought that sign was so cute that we just had to put it up somewhere. And we just this week placed our first big exterior bus signs debuting here in Madison, Wisconsin, on a dozen buses. They're called King Size. And the words "Sleep In on Sundays" are against a stained glass window background with the name of the Freedom From Religion Foundation on it and our website so people will get it. And we're keeping it light and playful, and we'll know what the reaction is, I guess, by next week.
So, Annie Laurie, what time did you get up last Sunday? We got up.
I don't want to admit.
we definitely practice what we preach.
And next week, we'll have some news about our two new billboards in Kansas, stirring up a lot of hot controversy there. We placed a Praise Darwin, Evolve Beyond Belief billboard in Wichita, Kansas, for obvious reasons, if you've been following the creationist debates. And an Imagine No Religion billboard on the North Bridge, really plum location in Topeka, Kansas, late last week.
Now, for this segment of our show, we want to respond to listeners. We get a lot of comments from listeners who ask us to talk. They enjoy the news and the timeliness, but they also want us to talk a little bit more about the philosophy and the reasons for non-belief. Why are we atheists? What is an atheist and what is an agnostic? And as you know, earlier this month, there was that huge American Religious Identification Survey, the ERA survey, that showed that the non-believers are currently at 15% at least, maybe as much as 20%, in the fastest growing segment of the population.
So we wanted to take a little time now for a little free thought primer on the airwaves. And briefly, Dan, first, why don't we talk about definitions?
Well, in my book, Losing Faith in Faith, I have a section in there called Refuting God. And also I repeat that in my new book, Godless. An atheist is simply a person who does not have a belief in a God for whatever reason. It could be intellectual, it could be moral, it could be social, it could be political, but whatever, or it could just be pure old ignorance. If you don't have a belief in a God or gods, then by definition, if not by label, by definition, you are an atheist.
And of course, the word atheist, it's A in front of a word means without, so it means without theism. And you want to define the word freethinker that we use a lot on this show?
Freethinker is a nice umbrella term that encompasses atheists and agnostics and other types of non-believers. So we don't.
But what's the dictionary definition?
Well, it goes back. In fact, you can find the word way back in the early 1700s. The freethinker in English, even before that. But a freethinker is a person who forms opinions about religion
based on reason.
Based on reason alone and not on tradition or established belief or authority
or
faith or revelation or any of those other superstitious religious reasons.
And then just briefly, what's the difference between, or is there a difference between agnostic and atheist?
Yeah. To keep it really simple, atheism and theism deal with the concept of belief. It's what you believe is true or not. Agnosticism and Gnosticism deal with something entirely different. They deal with knowledge. So you can be both. You can be an agnostic and an atheist.
In other words, you can claim that you don't have any knowledge of a God.
Yeah, or that we can't have, you don't have or can't have a knowledge and yet not hold a belief. Therefore, you are what we would call an atheistic agnostic. But there are some agnostics, like Pascal, you know, Pascal's wager. Some agnostics say, I don't know, and we can't know, but I'm going to believe anyway. So you would call those people theistic agnostics.
Okay, so that's enough definitions for a radio show, in my opinion. So then the questions and answers that atheists, I mean, the questions that atheists typically get are, well, where did it all come from? And design, how can you explain the complex order of the universe? Design requires a designer. And what would you say to that, Dan?
That's usually the big argument, and I do a lot of debates on existence of God and all of that. And design is one of their biggies. Because if it looks like it's designed, then who designed it? If you find, you know, Paley's watch on the ground. But this argument really is assuming what it's trying to prove. Because if functional complexity requires a designer, like the functional complexity of an eye or whatever, or, you know, something else, a bird's wing, well, then the designer has to be at least as complex as the thing that it designed. And the designer might be a team of designers. In any event, if the functional complexity of the object requires a designer, then so does the functional complexity of the mind of the designer.
In other words, if everything needs to have a creator, then who created God?
Exactly.
So, to say it the short way.
Yeah. And Dawkins in his book calls it the ultimate Boeing 747 argument, because you're not answering the question. You're answering complexity with more complexity, which means you haven't answered anything. So we who don't believe in a great designer prefer to stop with what we do know instead of inventing a false answer.
So what about the fact that there is some design in the universe?
Yeah, well, there is design, but it's not intelligent design. Well, there's intelligent design by humans. Humans intelligently design, but in the universe itself, we have design by natural selection. We have design by the laws of nature, by the limited number of ways that atoms can combine arithmetically and molecules can form together. So there is some design, but it's not intelligent. It's designed by these constraints or these givens of nature.
So that would lead us to the next common complaint or objection to atheism that we would hear, which is that the universe is governed by natural laws. Laws require a lawgiver. There must be a divine lawgiver.
Yeah. Dinesh D'Souza used that argument in both of the debates I did with him.
He's the Catholic.
Yeah, he's that author of What's So Great About Christianity. We debated at Harvard and in Minnesota. And obviously, he's making a very primitive, sophomoric mistake. Even anybody in Philosophy 101 knows the difference between prescriptive laws and descriptive laws. A prescriptive law is like the speed limit, right? But a descriptive law in science is not that kind of a law. It describes how things, in fact, do behave.
Like the law of gravity.
Yeah, it's not like an apple says, uh-oh, I better move toward the earth or I'm going to be in trouble. Or a light ray going through space says, I better back off on the speedometer here, you know. It's not following prescriptive laws. It's just a descriptive way. And so it's an equivocation. D'Souza and others are making a mistake, and they think they've got us in a trap when they say that, when actually they are the ones in a trap.
Now, I don't know if we want to go into this in great detail, but probably every debate you've done on this kind of topic, you'll hear this. It's improbable that the complexity of life occurred by accident. The second law of thermodynamics, which states that all systems tend to disorder, makes evolution impossible. There must have been a creator.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about that, except that the laws of the second law of thermodynamics applies only to a closed system, like a thermos that's sealed off, right? It's not getting any energy from outside. But the Earth itself is not a closed system. The Earth is receiving energy from the sun. We're being bombarded with new. So even though as a whole the universe is leading toward entropy or toward disorder, there are many pockets in the universe where the reverse is actually happening, and we happen to live in one of those pockets where the second law of thermodynamics doesn't apply.
Well, what about the evolution argument there?
Well, evolution, of course,
creationists use this mistakenly to support their cause.
Yeah, because if you just left a cell alone, it would decay and fall apart, right? It wouldn't keep moving. But if you put energy into it, if you keep injecting energy into it from outside, then that drives it. The mitochondria is a little energy factory inside the cells that's converting sugars into energy. So as long as you have that energy coming from outside, then you can have an increase in complexity, and that's what we see with evolution.
Well, you give an example in your book, Losing Faith in Faith, the Refuting God chapter, about using probability in this way, misleadingly. You know, after the fact, it would be like a lottery winner saying, it's highly unlikely that I could have won this lottery, therefore I must not have won. This idea that it's so unlikely that humans could have evolved.
So then we must
How
not
could
have.
We have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like if you shoot an arrow into the sky over a golf course, what's the chance that it will land on any one of those blades of grass? Very, 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 very tiny, infinitesimal.
But it has to land somewhere.
But it will land on one. You go, how could that have happened, right? So it's the mistake that a lot of creationists make is to assume that evolution was aiming at us, that we are the blade of grass that evolution was aiming at. But we didn't have to be us. It could have been some other thing or nothing. The fact that it landed at us has got the argument backwards.
So now moving to the last thing we have time for, which is also another very common argument that believers make about God, is that they personally know God through an inner spiritual experience, or millions of people personally feel this, so how could there not be a God? And Dan, you came out of the religion tradition, used to be a minister, so you can definitely speak to this.
I get more time in my debates to talk about these things in here. In fact, personal religious experiences are very powerful, and I used to have them. And in fact, I can still repeat them if I want to, but all religions have these experiences, and they are as real as they are, like a nightmare. A personal religious experience points to nothing outside of the mind, and if it did, then all religions are true.
And we know that can't be true.
Well, it could be, maybe.
But and then you're an example of someone who had this feeling of a personal religious experience, and you now realize it was just a delusion, as Dawkins would call it.
Yeah, and I can still do it. Actually, I can still actually go back and feel this kind of parent figure in my brain. Feels kind of weird.
It feels you can go into a trance, you mean?
Yeah, it's like a trance or something that the brain has. And it's a very powerful thing, but still, it's only within the skull.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. That was Dan Barker in his debating format. We didn't give him much time for Free Thought Radio, and we'll be back to talk a bit about the Pope and his problem with condoms and why this contributes to a global problem with AIDS. And we want to celebrate the birthday of a Monty Pythoner. And then speak with the leader of the Australian Free Thought Movement.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And last week, the Pope, of course, made headlines saying that on his way to Africa, that condoms were not the answer to the continent's battle against HIV/AIDS. In fact, he publicly condemned the use of condoms. He was visiting Cameroon and Angola, where there are 22 million people living with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa. Almost 2 million cases were added to that last year. And I think it's really heartening that he, the Pope, has now been condemned by many governments since this came out, when he said that, you know, it's a sin to use condoms and that they're making things worse. The governments of Belgium, France, Germany, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain condemned him, and many other United Nations groups condemned him. And I thought most poignant was a spokesperson for a group in Cameroon that is working with people with HIV. The spokesperson, Alain Fogou, said, is the Pope living in the 21st century? He said the people will not follow what the Pope is saying. He lives in heaven and we are on earth. And this comes out of the church's stance, its dogmatic stance on sperm and zygotes and embryos.
I was in Cameroon a couple of years ago, and they are fighting AIDS. Billboards and signs and pictures and condoms in the room, so they really do care about this.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If the sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
And of course, that's Monty Python, Every Sperm is Sacred. Speaking of Monty Python, March 29th is Eric Idle's birthday. In his honor, also, with Easter coming up, let's hear a little bit of the song that he wrote, singing, Always Look on the Brighter Side of Life.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright
side. Always look on the brighter side of life. After the break, we'll be right back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor with Free Thought Radio. And we'll be right back. Don't miss our interview with an Australian atheist activist.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion. You're listening to Free Thought Radio.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
Free Thought Radio is back. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And we have on the phone with us from Australia, David Nichols. David Nichols has been the president of the Atheist Foundation of Australia for 5 years after taking over from Keith Cornish, who was the president for 29 years. Keith recently died at the age of 91. David lives with his partner, Lee Holmes, who is the Australian Atheist magazine editor and the AFA treasurer, on a six-acre property on York Peninsula in South Australia, in a town near Wetulta. He'll have to tell me how to pronounce that. Wetulta, approximately 150 miles from the state capital, Adelaide. Not only is there a huge time change, but it's even a day later there in Australia, so we're really grateful to David for taking our call.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, David. Are you awake?
Hello, Annie, and hello, Dan. Yes, I certainly am, and it's pronounced, I think you were very close there, Dan. It's Wetulta.
Wetulta, all right.
Yes.
So we want to talk about the bus sign campaign that the government stopped. You were involved in asking for a sign on a bus. Before we get to that, can you first tell us something about atheism and non-theism in Australia? How many of there are you down there, by the way?
We can only go by the census, Dan, that a government census that comes out every 4 years. And in the 2006 census, I think it was... I have that figure in front of me somewhere here.
About 10%, I think?
No, it's about 18.7%. Right, I've got the figures right in front of me. I can never remember these because there's so many of them. In the 2001 census, there were 15.5% people who said they were not religious, answered in that way. And there are also... 11.7% who didn't actually fill out the question because it's not a compulsory question. Now the addition of that is 26.5% to 27%, and in year 2006 those figures went from 18.7 no religious and 11.2% didn't answer the question or wasn't adequately answered. So it's nearly 30% of people in Australia by the census figures who say they are not religious. Of course, the question is, and I don't know if you have the same trouble in your state or even other states in America, but the question is a leading question. It says, what is the person's religion? Which presupposes to the person that, well, I must have to write down my religion. So many people write down their religion of baptism. They might not be religious anymore, but they'll still write that down because there's an authority figure telling them, you know, what is the person's religion. And if you take into account that 20% of the population are under 14 years of age, I mean, no child knows what religion they are. They only parrot their parent or... I mean, it's calling a child a Catholic child or a Muslim child or a Buddhist child. I mean, it's a silly thing. I mean, adults who are putting census forms out shouldn't be involved with this sort of ridiculousness.
Isn't it true that very few people actually go to church in Australia?
Well, that statistic is very hard to find, and there's an official, a semi-official figure going around about 9% of people actually are regular church attenders. So 9%, you know, is a very low figure. And, I mean, just by driving past churches on a Sunday, you even question that figure.
So it's not only the atheists who are sleeping in on Sundays, right?
No, that's right, Dan, yes. That's exactly right. The religious people are also avoiding churches like the plague.
Do you have God on your money there?
No, God has never appeared on our money, which is something a little bit different from... the USA.
It's a miracle.
We have state church separation, but God's on our money. What about public officials and candidates? Do they talk about God in public or what?
Yes. It's a very strange, religion in Australia is a very strange thing, and it's a lot different than the American scene. But it's not uncommon for high up political people to appear at evangelical Christian turnouts, you know, people are running around clapping their hands and talking tongues and things like that, and to promote Christianity, you know, quite often, and they say prayers before Parliament, and you know,
oh, do they?
Religion high up in politics is there, but it doesn't reflect what the Australian population. It's a very strange situation.
What about evolution?
We don't have the same trouble you have with evolution, even though it's always there trying to get into our schools. And homeschooling, as you would know, that's where a lot of the evolution is taught, even though there are the odd Christian school around the place. When I say odd, there's probably a lot more than just an odd number. And they do play on the evolution theme, but overall, on the creation theme, sorry. But overall, evolution is pretty well accepted in Australia.
Well, you have a city called Darwin, don't you?
Yes, we do. That's right. But I don't think it was named after Charles. I think it was named after somebody else. I'm not quite sure.
Well, we can pretend anyway.
That's right. I could have lied then. Nobody would know, wouldn't
it? That's right.
Does Australia have an official religion, or does it have separation of state and church?
There is no separation of state and state and church in the statute books or in, you know, in anything actually. There's one section in the Constitution that says that the government mustn't promote a religion, but it seems to work around that, because getting back to creationism, one of the very unfortunate things that's happening in Australia is that the last government under John Howard, so named the Man of Steel or something by your then-President George Bush, he instituted a program where chaplains given 20,000, you know, they give a school $20,000, any school, any state school can get $20,000 to hire a chaplain to go into that school. And this has been taken up by the evangelical side of religion, and those chaplains tend to be from that, you know, not from sort of mainstream Catholics or mainstream Church of England or anything like that, which would be a little bit more moderate. But there's not enough of those people that they are very failing religions in Australia. You know, the mainstream religions are really, really badly off.
Well, and the evangelicals care more. The evangelicals are proselytizing.
So. Oh, yes. Yeah, they've got to get out there. I mean, they have these missions, you know, we've got to convert the world sort of thing.
Are they fighting gay marriage and abortion rights over there as well?
Gay rights here has just gone through a bit of a change where there's equality financially, you know, with pensions and you know, and superannuation and all these sort of things. That's changed considerably over the last couple of years, actually. And so that's not a big issue legally. There's still a lot of prejudice in the community, and that's always fought up by all religions. Abortion is... there's always the threat of abortion being taken away. It's not legal here, but it's not illegal. And it's conditional abortion, but it's nearly abortion on demand. But it is always in every parliament of Australia where somebody is trying to, you know, put an amendment in that will make it a bit harder for women to have abortion.
Well, it sounds like free thought and religion are worldwide, and we're all dealing with similar things. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we want to talk about the bus sign issue. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Free Thought Radio is back with our guest from Australia by phone, David Nichols.
And David is with the Australian Foundation for Atheism, or the Atheist Foundation of Australia. Now, Dave, you probably know that we honored your group by taking the wording of the bus sign that you wanted to have put on buses and were denied. So we're going to have them. In fact, they're up now in Madison, Wisconsin, sleep in on Sundays. What happened down there?
I was very chuffed by that, Dan, that you decided to pick on our sign. And we expect royalties, of course. the reason we went away from that one, by the way, this is just for your own interest, is that it's too religious specific. I mean, Buddhist people don't sleep on Sunday. Hindu people, do sleep on Sunday. So do Hindu and probably Muslim people. So it's a bit too directed at Christianity, even though in both our countries, Christianity is the problem. Now, what was that question again? I'm sorry.
Is that what they told you? You tried to get the bus signs in. Who turned you down? The bus company themselves?
No, the bus. It's a bit of a difficult situation to explain. But the mainland in Australia has about seven states. Seven states, I can't remember. And we also have a state called Tasmania, which is an island state. And so the mainland and the island state have different companies controlling the signs on buses. So we'll just stick to the mainland one. But the mainland one has a company called APN Outdoor, who are the advertising company, and they have sole rights to put signs on buses in capital cities throughout Australia, excluding Darwin, by the way, who don't have any outdoor advertising at all. But yes, APN Outdoor, who are the people who disallowed our signs on buses. Now, who made that decision, whether it was a higher-up government decision, we don't know. But I would possibly say, I would think it would be APN Outdoor who have refused us.
And you have other signs besides that one, right?
Oh, we offered them a number of signs. I mean, we started off, we first heard of Arian Shireen's program in England, and we thought, gee, that sounds okay, and but we weren't getting too serious about it till we started getting phone calls from our members and also from members of the public saying, hey, listen, we should be doing this. So that stirred us into action.
Just like us.
Yes, that's right. And I think there's 10 countries in the world at the moment who are doing this.
That's right. Italy and...
Spain, France. Germany.
Yeah.
Yes.
France.
Yep.
Portugal, maybe?
Canada. I think, aren't we allowed to mention Canada here?
Canada, of
yes.
course. Canada.
Canada got censored, too.
Yes, but didn't it turn around? Haven't they...
I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
Mm. But anyhow, we thought, well, listen, Australia... will be very jumpy. You know, this is the odd part about Australia, about putting any sign up there defaming religion or vilifying religion or doing anything like that. So we thought we'd be very careful here and we'll just stick to what we are. So we put a sign up which is basically the definition of, or our definition, the Atheist Foundation of Australia definition of atheism. Atheism because there is no credible evidence. Now, that's the first sign we thought we'd go with because it doesn't say religion, you're a bunch of naughty people or anything like that. Anyhow, they seemed to not like that one, and we assumed it was the wording. So then we said, celebrate reason, sleep in on Sunday mornings, the sign that you have picked up on. And they didn't seem to like that. So then we dropped down to the minimal thing called, and we... That last one was atheism, celebrate reason. And I mean, if a chess club had said to APN Outdoor, we'd like to put a sign on your buses, you know, promoting chess and how reason is very important in the game of chess. And if it was chess, celebrate reason, you know, the sign would be running around all over the place at this very moment. But because it says atheism, celebrate reason, we feel we've been discriminated
because
against.
Atheism is by definition, according to them, an insult to all religions.
Yes. To just have the name out there, that's right, it's an insult.
How dare we even mention that we exist?
Certainly, that's it. But nobody's admitting this. Nobody's admitting it. They say, oh, no, we don't put religious, political messages up, or we try not to offend the public. And nobody's offended by this, by the way. We have a very vocal, I think your site in America might be the same initials as the Atheist Foundation of Australia, AFA. Yours is the American Family Association. We have a thing called the Festival of Light. I think they're probably very similar organisations. And they jump up and down when anything goes on that is a threat to their religion.
When did this happen? When did you try to put up these signs?
This started in about November, the end of November last year, and it's still going on. With we have complaints with the appropriate bodies in Tasmania and in the state of Victoria, which we thought we'd start with, and we're still waiting on the outcome to see if we have been discriminated against.
Well, we'll root for you. We won't pray for you, but we'll hope. Atheist Foundation of Australia. Do you have a webpage for the group?
Yes, it's Atheist Foundation of Australia. And what is it?
Dot something.
If they put in Atheist Foundation of Australia.
Atheist Foundation, you'll get 1,000 hits.
Right.
Atheistfoundation.org.au, now I can think of it, yes.
Well, good luck getting onto the buses, and we were so pleased. We really like your slogan. And it's so nice of you to join us and to get up so early to do it. So thank you very much, David Nichols.
Thank you, Annie, and thank you, Dean. And it's a pleasure to be on your show, and thank you for inviting me. That was wonderful.
Maybe we'll meet someday.
That will happen, probably.
This is a reminder that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is launching its first exterior bus signs in Madison, Wisconsin, last week. They say sleep in on Sundays in honor of the Australian suggestion, which got censored by their bus companies there. And we hope to take that and other bus slogans around the nation. We have a contest at ffref.org, a bus ballot.
Do we know who's winning yet?
What's winning is Ruth Hermance Green, a version of Ruth Hermance Green's quotation. There was a time when religion ruled the world. It is known as the Dark Ages. We shorten it slightly for the bus sign. But you can still go and vote on that, and we want to take that all around the country with your help. So sleeping on Sundays, but then get involved in this bus ballot.
Get on the bus, huh? And that ends our show today. We also want to thank Dan Ginsberg, our engineer, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper.
The past shows are archived and available for podcasting at ffrf.org. You can join ffrf.org at ffrf at ffrf.org. I got a lot of Fs there. And thank you for listening, and come back next week. We'll talk a little bit blasphemous to me about Easter, and we'll have more rational radio.
And since we're talking with somebody south of the equator, we're going to go out of the show today listening to Sandra Bailey from Brazil, who did a Brazilian version of John Lennon's Imagine.
You can phone 1-800-335-4021 to ask for more information about the Freedom from Religion Foundation, or ask for a sample copy of our newspaper, Free Thought Today.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living.
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.